Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hello and welcome to episode 33 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM Alex Newell, and with me today I have, in reverse order,
Ben Meredith,
Lydia Nicholas,
Bryn Monroe,
James Ross.
And who are you playing?
Zoff Smith.
Sackram.
I knew one of you would fall.
Sackarashits. Sasha Racket.
Hamid Salahurun Altahan.
Sir Bertrand McGavigan.
I admit, I thought it was going to be you, Bryn. I really thought it was going to be you.
Yeah. People with your words and your tongues and your faces and your meat flaps all in the right places.
Not many listeners know Lydia's forehead. It's just mouth.
Yeah.
So, picking up where we left off, we finally made it across to France.
Or what we well, maybe. We could be in Belgium.
What we presume is France. There was a coastline involved.
Yeah. And France has coasts, I've heard
I
of
mean,
that.
Admittedly, Bertie got very lost. We're getting lost in a train tunnel that has only an entrance and an exit is a formidable, formidable...
It's like a very simple labyrinth. That's disgusting.
So, nonetheless, everyone's made it somewhere.
Yep.
And it's time to pick up where we left off. And
it'll turn out we were in Jersey, won't it?
Oh, no!
And God...
Isle of Wight.
God forbid, but we might actually get back onto the main quest at some point. We'll see how it goes anyway. So with that in mind, let's start with the party, i.e. the majority.
Right.
You have been on the beach, you managed to
know,
get...
minority voices don't count. Yeah. They're not worth listening to.
I like to think Bertie would agree with
would
my choice.
Endorse that option.
So you managed to get a fire going and bivouac.
Well, I walked back with my trident.
Actually, yeah.
I'm
Let's go for
Oh, you're passed out.
I just passed out under it like this.
Wait, one. Didn't you?
I did.
Cool.
Snore.
Looks like I did something right.
Snore.
Well done.
So, well, and also, I mean, Sasha's out, but thank you for coming with me. It means a lot.
Snore.
You know.
I don't know how much I helped, but...
That's arguably not the point.
Okay.
Thank you. Anyway, I've got some driftwood for the fire.
Let's start the fire then.
Sure. If you want to do that, I need to deal with the boat.
Sure.
So I shall take the boat and I shall push it reverentially out to sea and just let it float away.
It appears to get caught in a rip current of some kind, and yeah, it starts pulling back out to sea. Not at a particularly hurried pace, but it's just bobbing out, back out, straight towards the storm in fairness, but nonetheless, it's heading out.
Here we go. Oops.
We find out that we are in Jersey and we're now trapped.
Please let that happen.
Yeah, no, we go over the beach and there's just more sea and we're on some tiny undiscovered island.
You're a little spell, man.
If they are on Jersey or the Isle of Wight, that would be amazing. Just anyway,
don't encourage him.
It's all right.
Or the thing begins to sort of shift and move, and it's just one of those giant turtles.
Mm. Oh, nice.
I'd take that. That'd be great.
And then you find metallic tentacles underneath.
Oh, boy.
It's just Lydia's face.
So, anyway.
It's not turtles all the way down, it's just Lydia's face. Oh. Again and again. It's a huge stack.
Yeah, fan art can be delivered in on giant postcards. So anyway. Soggy ones will be particularly well appreciated.
Anyway, we'll skip ahead. You guys spend a night, and given the fatigue involved, you sleep well despite all of the terribleness. Do any of you set a watch or anything similar?
No.
I just passed out.
You wake up having not set a watch with nothing bad happening to you because you're not in the middle of nowhere. You're still in vaguely the civilised world.
Well, I think more usually we are in the middle of nowhere where there's no one around to do something bad to us.
So nonetheless, you wake up.
Zombies.
What do you do?
Right. Pack up the
paperwork. Yeah, I'm...
Put you the got your... Back
I did. I said it to Hamid last night that you passed out. Thank you for coming with me.
That's all right. Thanks for diving after me. That was pretty nice. Even if I did have to swim up.
That's the thought that counts.
Yeah, and the hovering stepping stone thing that saved our lives that counts as
also
well.
Also handy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, does that mean that your god is all right with you now?
Yes. He got his
trident back. That's probably a good sign.
Yeah, these are a lot of good signs.
Is that your trident or a different trident? How would you tell?
It's my trident, right? Or is it a different trident?
How would you tell?
I'm assuming I'd know my favourite weapon by the bumps and scratches and the nicks. And sort of like, no, there won't be like Zolf's trident. But like it's something I spent
Zolf
a lot of time
was
with.
Here. Yeah.
Is the barcode the same?
Yeah. The
serial number.
It's just Zolf for Poseidon all in a big heart.
It wasn't there before.
Zolf and Poseidon sit in a tree. P-R-A-Y-I-N-G.
That's very clever. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's yours. It is clearly
okay,
yours.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Same one. Sorry.
Oh, so it beat us here.
It dippies. Do you think it won the bet?
Well, we're not technically in
Calais. That's the point, actually.
We need to find out where we are. And also food.
Yes.
I really need some food. I didn't have any of my supplies. Did you guys have food?
I probably will have. It's probably ruined. I'll check through my pack.
Anything would be better than nothing, even if it's a bit soggy.
You'll hear a tirade of swearing. And I'll pull out a compass. In all the confusion, I forgot I had one of these.
Well, like, we wouldn't have been able to steer different anyway, Zolf.
I suppose so. What this does mean, though, is... Oh, we'd have to know where Calais was. Yeah. I look up. Is it still at all dark?
It is morning, dawn has broken. Yeah. You've slept all night. Give me a perception roll. Actually, no.
Can you see the
sun? Give me a
survival
roll. Yeah.
17.
You are likely south of Calais by an indeterminate distance.
Right, so I'm looking around. I reckon we're south. So if we head north by this along the coast, we should be able to find it.
Okay.
Might be a walk. I don't know how far we deviate.
Are you any good at foraging? I'm not much for wilderness skills.
Let's skip breakfast for now because we might just be next to a village.
Okay.
So if we walk and then by lunchtime...
Sure.
You know, we haven't found anything more.
Okay. Cut to Bertie.
Bertie is...
You are currently...
Bedraggled.
...on the inside of a closed metal gate, having come from the depths of the subway, covered in filth and grime, and your armour misshaping your body as a huge hunch. Beside you is what looks like a sailor who's crawling around on all fours, and you've just announced yourself to a place, one presumes Calais... Mm-hmm. Where all of the crowd have screamed and run and the station masters proceed to scream in your face. We'll pick up at the exact moment that the station master faints.
Okay. Are there any other station officials on my side of the barrier?
No.
In that case, Bertie searches the station master for keys.
There are more screams, people running away. There's basically...
The undead has come through and yeah. Drag this poor man back to...
To be fair, in a system where the undead... exist.
Yep.
It's not a bad assumption.
There's screams, there's running, there's people calling out an alarm in the distance and you're pouring away. Give me a perception check.
Not one of those.
19 minus 1 is 18. So
you managed to find a key on a chain round his neck. It's the key. It appears to be a master key of some kind.
Yeah, take it. Unlock the gate.
Once people see that you have opened the gate and are stepping through, open panic starts spreading out into the station. People flee in all directions.
Steady on. Does anybody here speak English? Anyone? English?
No one can hear you over the furor and the noise. There's clearly
I shout
people...
louder. Does anybody here speak English? Like, genuinely, as loud as I possibly can in order to...
Okay. So to describe the setting, and then we'll go into what happens. Okay. It makes the Dover station look like a dump. Huge vaulted ceilings with frescoes, even though it's sort of industrialised with steel and so on, to hold up the huge vaulting. There's frescoes all over the place. There's gilt edging and so on. There are enormous amounts of what look to be mechanical men. How much travelling has Bertie done?
A bit. He'll have done, like, the Grand Tour. Oh, no, he won't have done the Grand Tour because Rome is a crater. he'll have done a bit, but not an enormous amount.
You'll be seeing a lot of mechanical men who you'll be aware of are a thing in Paris now. Yeah. The people panicking and fleeing. It's an incredibly cosmopolitan lot.
Mm.
Every race, every creed, all fleeing in all directions.
Bertrand McGuffingham is loving that.
The only ones who don't seem to be fleeing are the mechanical men who proceed to continue about their tasks, mutely doing exactly what they always do, carrying luggage and loading.
Can mechanical men understand language instructions?
I'd say that you haven't looked into it enough to know.
Okay.
They're all oiks.
Mechanical oiks.
Things get done. Sometimes it's a mechanism.
Do they understand any more than a peasant? Who knows? Who cares? Shout loud enough and it has the same effect.
Okay.
So, yeah, people are still fleeing and a couple of people hear the yelling and so on, but there's just too much confusion.
Fair enough. In that case, I think as people are fleeing and they're fleeing away from him, I think Sylvester McGuffin is going to don his armour once again because, like, he looks an absolute mess.
Okay.
So in order to make himself look a bit fancier and more presentable.
Don your armour and squelch it on and squelch your shoes on, squelch your boots on, squelch your arms in.
The muddy inside.
He's taken his normal clothes that he was wearing a moment ago, his, like, day clothes, off and put the armour on.
You were still wading through water up to your waist and it was on your back. Yeah, it's vile.
Okay.
It's squelching when you walk.
Stripping in the middle of Paris.
Yep.
Station.
Finally, once you have all of your armour donned, you see in the time that it's taken, a police force has arrived at the entrances to the station and they've begun cordoning it off. They're fully kitted out, the equivalent of riot shields, short swords.
I.e. shields.
Well, yeah. Tower shields.
Okay.
There you go. So they've built a shield barricade. There's what look like automatic crossbow. The whole nine yards.
Yeah, yeah.
They're all there, ready to go. The response is fairly quick. Genuinely impressive. But nonetheless, you are...
Right, do any of you speak English?
There's a moment of hesitation. Man, again, in full armour and so on, steps forward and goes... Hello, yes?
Hello.
Who are you?
I am Sir Bertrand McGuffingham. Now, the train has broken down. I took it upon myself to heroically send for help, and here I am asking for help. Now, down there in the tunnel are stranded passengers. Yes?
Are you the appropriate?
Are you the appropriate authority?
Let's say yes. He's just looking at you, still confused.
There is a broken-down train lodged partway through that tunnel. I would ask you to send help. Send the appropriate engineers.
He takes a moment, confers with someone, comes back. You will wait here. And then he strides off. The cordon remains, although a lot of the support, so archers and so on, kind of head off, and you're just left with, I don't know, 20 guards, let's say.
You can take them.
Time passes.
How much time passes?
About half an hour.
You're squelchy.
Yeah, getting quite irritated by this. Excuse me, do any of you speak English?
There's a lot of frowning looks, and then eventually one of them pipes up. Yes, but we're probably not going to be speaking to you, so...
I'm in rather a hurry, you know.
So, yeah.
Got business to attend to. Now, I've done my best coming here to report that you have a broken down train. Now, I would say that it's very much your responsibility to resolve that matter.
He looks a bit out of his depth, turns to the others, and then he just clams up.
Hello?
Just nothing.
You were the one who was speaking a moment ago,
He's just still...
I could tell it was you. It was definitely you.
He looks really uncomfortable, but that's about it.
You!
Cut to the rest of the party. You have managed to, walking north along the coast, you encounter a small village.
Oh, thank goodness, we can get, like, a sausage or something.
What's more is, having a look at it, it appears to be fairly opulent. It's not big, but there's probably... It looks like there's a farm estate nearby. Who speaks French?
Yep.
Oui, bonjour. I speak... Like, trash French. Sure. Like, inner city. I speak gang signs, basically.
Tell you what.
Parle vous trash français?
In English, what would you say in French as a hello in your trash?
All right, mate.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, gov. Now, you got any nice nibbles for us? Like,
we're looking
more
for a
cocky?
Pleasant meal, if that's a thing you could possibly arrange for us.
Yeah, like, so. We can't actually understand each other.
So So, skipping ahead, we'll say...
There's any urchins, they look from one to the other, and then depending on the social class...
We'll say there's a grocer's open, it's early, but yeah, they're open, and they have a much easier time dealing with Hamid than dealing with Sasha.
All right, Gov, we've just come up the apples and pears. I don't know much rhyming slang, but essentially the French equivalent of rhyming slang.
Sure. Deduct what you deem an appropriate amount. We're skipping ahead a bit here.
A few silvers.
Yeah, sure. They'll provide you with some food. Furthermore, there is an inn in the middle, and what's really interesting is it'll be really rare for Sasha in London. There are a number of what could only be called sort of automobiles.
Oh.
So they appear to be electrically run, same as the train, same principle. But nonetheless, there appear to be two very flash-looking cars out front. Think Chitty Chitty Bang Bang on steroids.
Where's the horse? What's going on?
It's an automatic vehicle. It powers itself.
There's a small horse inside?
No, magic.
A magic horse.
But I have heard that it has the power of 15 horses.
Some of them, many as 20 or 30.
Oh.
But small horses, so like 20
No,
tiny
I think,
horses.
Don't they, like, they were talking about it with the train, it's the lightning element?
Yeah, they harness...
I love that Bertie's killing himself to win this bet, and you guys are just like, oh, it's nice here, isn't it? Yeah. What's that? It's really interesting. Let's discuss the nuances of that.
Tomorrow's world. I forgot. Did you ask where Calais was?
Yes.
Where is it?
That way.
There's a quite obvious sign that says Calais.
Well, you might read that.
I don't know if we should walk or hire horses or someone in one of these vehicles
Can we take the tiny horse car?
Is there one of those distance markers?
So there's a distance stone down beside it, and it's Calais.
It's in kilometres!
No! We've no idea!
You can both speak French, so presumably you know what a kilometre is.
I wouldn't know the measurements.
I studied mathematics at university for most of a year.
Yeah.
I mean, not
before you got bored.
Not with very much effort, but, you know.
It is 20 kilometres.
That's actually not too far.
Right, can we hire the sparky tiny horse car?
We can ask in
probably some rich person's personal
probably
vehicle.
A private vehicle, I would think. But we can see we can ask in the,
I can deal
in the
with
tavern.
That, and if that's the obstacle.
I don't think that would be a good way to make a first impression in a new country, Sasha.
Whether they notice is whether it makes an impression.
I was in custody yesterday. So let's not steal the shiny, very expensive car.
Fine.
But if we could hire it, for not too much money, we could do that.
Well, let's ask him. Let's ask him a task.
Sulkiest face.
Say we're trying to get to Calais.
I'm brutal right now. Ooh.
Calais, and ask what the quickest way is.
Yeah.
If anyone has any
there might be a train.
Horses to hire or anything like that.
So, what do you do?
Go into the tavern.
Yeah.
Ask. We would say, you know, hello. We're travellers trying to get to Calais. We'd like to hire transportation if that's possible. What would be the quickest way? Is
that
anyone who can?
It's a good thing that I'm so sulky that I don't ask, because if they heard my French, they would not want to put anything expensive in my way. Like, this is just what we use trading in the underground.
So we will cut to Bertie. Bit of time's passed. We'll say that you are inside, effectively, a customs consultation room, sat with the station master. They've already sent some engineers down, but at this point, a couple of hours have passed again. So for you, you're looking at it's early morning as well.
Right.
Because you've been going through the night, crawling through filth. You haven't slept. You've been going through water. You're just in the worst state.
How did we end up better off at the other end of this trip than Bertie? How did that happen?
You were just wet.
We just got wet. I was thinking about
wet and soiled.
Yeah, very.
So the station master's going over and over and over. And he actually, you know, speaks very good English and so on, so it's not like there's no translation problems. So you're telling me that you rerouted the train?
Yes, I rerouted the train.
Who gave you permission to reroute a train?
Destiny gave me the permission, young man, and that is all the permission I require.
And who is Destiny? Who's she?
Destiny is the engine that drives history forward. The powerful spirit.
So you're saying that you redirected the train with no permission?
Correct.
Okay, that's right.
It was a survival situation. Compromises had to be made.
So where are the rest of the passengers?
They are with the train.
So why did you redirect the train?
Train remains in the same place.
Okay, just taking some notes. What capacity are you here in?
Hero.
The customs officer looks utterly confused and exasperated in equal measures.
I was sending for help. I have now done that. I believe my duty here has been discharged. Now, if you wish to waste any more of my time, I am charged very sensible hourly rates as a mercenary, if I can issue you with a rate card.
Well, given that you have arrived here with no prior knowledge, we have no way to guarantee that what you've said is actually the truth. We have to send some people to verify. You're going to have to wait here. There's not a lot we can do. I mean, do you even have a ticket?
I paid for first-class passage along...
And at this point, I'm going to start with a combination, I think probably intimidate, to try and get me out of this, because I'm going to be playing the angry customer.
Sure.
Here, because I was promised a first-class trip.
And that's not happening.
No. I am not pleased. Should I roll first?
Go for it.
Pomp and pageantry. And
yeah,
I'm
sure, sure.
Furious.
Sure, sure, go for it.
20.
Every time
Bertie wants something.
Every time.
The story wants him to not notice which way is up and to shout his way through.
Okay. Do you have dice privilege?
Maybe.
Question. Maybe is Pathfinder right wing? Let us know. Go for it. Bully your way through the
there
situation.
We are now. I, Sir Bertrand McGuffingham of the House McGuffingham, a name whose name echoes down the ages with the coruscating fire of British indomitability, have been held up. I have paid for a first-class ticket, and that comes with certain expectations for levels of service. Firstly, a train that works. Secondly, elements that bend to the will of man. Thirdly, politeness at all times, and fourthly, egress from this infuriatingly bijou little cubbyhole that you deem a station. I must say that if this is in any way representative of the quality of France, then I have been much disappointed. I would annex yourselves to Belgium in humble submission, you pathetic little worm. I will be leaving now, sir. Good day.
And Bertie leaves, taking the station master's hat from the hat stand, putting it on his head, walking out.
You can take the hat stand. The door is currently locked. The station master, I do apologise. I'm so sorry.
He rams into the door.
He just, and then passes it off as a, you will open this for me.
You will open this door for me, or I will open this door for myself, and I shall not be using the handle. You see this hat? This is only the first thing that is associated with you in any way that will be violently leaving this room.
So the station master, faffing with his key, he's coming over and he's like, I'm so sorry. If you can just pass me the ticket, we'll take that as verification and we'll reimburse you the difference. And he's opening the lock. There's obviously a couple of guards outside.
I was not given a ticket.
No, you were not. You bribed your way onto that train.
And a natural 20 doesn't, like...
There are limits.
He's very convinced.
He's willing to pay you back your money. You can walk out without having to deal with any of the actual legal rigmarole. All you have to do is provide a ticket.
Sir, I have no idea how things run in France, but in Britain, the greatest nation the world has ever seen, a gentleman's word is his bond. I have given you my word, sir, and I would dare you to countermand it.
At this point, he is literally 1 inch from his face. He is furious, but he is red in the face. That little bit of it that can be seen underneath the filth. Brutal is growling. While wearing a lopsided wig.
It looks more like tentacles.
It's got the added element. Not only is he physically intimidating, but Brutal's kind of like gender flipping is really disquieting this like extremely cisgendered station master.
As the station master.
he's got a bit of gender panic is what I'm saying. That's what Brutal's so adding to proceedings.
As the station master just openly panics. We'll take a break there and come back in a couple of minutes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi there, this is Ben. I play Zolf in the podcast, and this is what I sound like when I'm not trying to put on a West Country accent. I'm just here to apologise that we ran the Magnus ad for so long. We had a lot of goblin problems to deal with, Alex has been running around in his pants with a bat, so there's a bit of a mess. We had a lot of offers for help with all the recent problems, and even though we're improving, it got us thinking that we could actually, you know, tell you guys the best way that you can help out with your favourite podcast. We will be offering merchandise and running a Patreon offering later in the year, but until then, it would be really helpful if you could subscribe to us on Rusticore Gaming via iTunes rather than just listening. That means you'll get all the latest episodes downloaded automatically, so you don't have to miss anything and can listen later without internet access, which is helpful. And that will really help our rankings. And with higher rankings, we can get more listeners, which means we can make more content. Simple. Remember, we are also available on just about every other podcast app, so if you aren't using iTunes, you can still do this. You could leave iTunes reviews. Reviews are really important as it lets people know to give us a shot. We're only worth the things that people say about us, really. And we don't have an advertising budget, so word of mouth is really important for us. You can get in touch with us via Twitter, at The Rusty Quill, or look us up on Facebook. Any time that you share our content, we'll always give you a shout-out. You can check out the fan forum. Just go to rustyquill.com and click on the forums tab. There you can find in-depth discussions about roleplay and your favourite podcast, and you can chat with us and the crew. And finally, just keep mentioning us online. If you run a blog, let people know about your favourite podcast. That's us. Write a review, chuck some fan art online, which we love. Let us know, and we will give it a shout-out. Finally, we are working flat out to bring the Magnus Archives out. We've already had a bunch of episodes ready, and they are sounding horrible, but the good kind of horrible. The horror kind of horrible, not the bad audio kind of horrible. And we're just finishing off editing and doing our final checks. When it does launch, be sure to give it a listen, as we'll need as many reviews, likes, shares, and tweets as possible. Thank you for listening, and we really hope you enjoy this episode.
And welcome back. I think we'll jump across to the party in the village. Currently, you entered the inn looking for...
Yeah.
It's immediately apparent who owns the cars. There are two extremely elderly women dressed up to the nines, furs, hats, the whole lot, racing goggles, big flappy caps, and they're being incredibly loud and boisterous by the car, by the bar, sorry, in English. I tell you, I'm going to beat you on the next leg. No, you won't, Doris. I've got your number. You're so funny. They're sloshed. They are completely annihilated on alcohol. They can barely stand.
Sort of seems like Bertie's remit.
Well, I don't know. Hammer can be a very charming young man sometimes.
Do you think that you get them to let us come along on their race?
Well, if you really think that's the best option, rather than just hiring a horse.
Two drunk old women to drive us.
I want the tiny sparky horse car.
I'm indifferent, but...
It'll get us there faster so Zolf can win his bet and then Bertie will shut up.
And is that not ultimately the most important thing?
This is like Bertie level of prioritisation. This is the worst. Anyway.
I want the sparky horse car.
See what I can do.
She's been learning from you.
Ladies, it's so wonderful
Hello,
to hear a friendly
lovely.
Voice. At which point they reach out, grab you and physically pull you straight in.
Goodbye,
oh,
Hammy.
He's nice, isn't he? Oh, I know. Oh, look at his little cheek. He's very well dressed. Oh, I know.
I
Where
flirt.
Did you get that?
I roll a 24.
Oh, you didn't need to roll. You really didn't need to roll. They are all over Hammond in a heartbeat. Oh, he's very nice, isn't he? Oh, what are you doing here? You speak very good English. Why are you here? Did you see our cars outside? Bet you'd like a ride in that, eh? Everyone wants to ride, and they just go on and on.
Are they human?
They are probably human. They are so tiny with it. It, like, there's a moment
it
of...
could be half-halfling.
See, they're dressed up, probably. Like, there's a good chance they might be half-halfling.
They might be gnomes.
They're definitely not gnomish, but they're quite possibly half-halfling. It kind of all starts
Does
to blur.
Happen?
Yeah.
Is there, like, on a range of heights?
Allegedly, in Pathfinder, any two races can be combined.
You could have halfling orc.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hawkling.
Mm.
It's quite rare.
Yeah.
It's incredibly rare, but, yeah. Anyway... So yeah, they're all over you in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I will gently work into the conversation that myself and my two travelling companions are looking to get to Calais swiftly.
So they go, oh, you've only just missed us. We actually just came from Calais. We're on an ongoing race. Leg 16. You're winning, aren't you, Doris? Only by a little bit, but I'll get you soon. Oh, honestly, Sandra's been beating me the rest of the way from here last year, but I think we got it this year. And they're just going on and on.
When
and
when
on.
I hear the bit that they've left Calais, like my little face falls. And Zolf have not been able to press and digitize our clothes, so we still look
Salty. Sodden.
And
we're probably dried off.
Yeah, well,
we've
like
had a day in a bit.
Rat tail hair, yeah. Sort of, down and everything is just. Because I was in leather.
Oh!
Yeah, Yeah.
Not having fun. There is I will play on their desire for competition. And try and persuade them that they could have much more fun racing each other back to Calais. And I will drop into the conversation that we're meeting a friend there who is a
knight.
Very eligible young man and a knight of the realm.
Give it a roll. Just a diplomacy.
Ooh.
15.
15. They're certainly interested in going, oh, it's a good point. He's got a good point. Oh, I do like a realm. But honestly, I mean, it's just not got quite the sense of adventure. I mean, as it is, the two in one car, one in the other, I'm not quite sure. I mean, you're doing a good job, son. They're quite aware of what you're trying to do at this point. They're quite happy to play along. They're just going to make you work for it.
We're talking about, like,
saucer
dish eyes that I'm looking up at them.
I have ordered a drink.
Just quivering. I mean, maybe you've ordered me a drink, but that's I've
point,
just
actually.
Got my hand around it, but I'm looking at them and I haven't sipped any of it.
By the by, can I buy either of you ladies a drink? Oh, look at him. He's as good as the first one, isn't he? They pull you in.
Isn't he sodden and disgusting?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they're not fussy.
Okay,
no.
All right.
When they that are happens, so far gone.
I will look at you and my face just drops. Yeah. It's like,
oh,
no.
Look at him. What's with this beard? Look at that. How do you learn to plait that? Honestly, I've never seen a plaited beard like, you're a Poseidon one, aren't you? Oh, I've seen him, haven't I? Did you remember that Poseidon one from Carly? They should go on.
Drink.
Oh! And then, yeah. In fact, I think they end up buying it for you. They're
okay,
just they're so loaded and just in every sense of the word, actually, now I think about it. And
alcohol, money, and vim.
Just they're full of life, these girls. So, we will cut back to Bertie with the station master just wetting himself going, I don't know what to tell you, sir. I'd actually be breaking the law. I mean, do you have anyone who could vouch for you? This is more than my job. I'd get locked up.
The station master who allowed me egress is currently in Dover.
Okay. Would you be willing to wait just the 10 minutes it takes to send a message to the other side?
10 minutes. 10 minutes. Mm.
We'd already be almost done.
Very well. You may remain in this office while you send that message.
Okay. He sort of talks to one of the guards, gives him a word, he sort of gives a frown, passes him a note, and then the station master closes the door, locks it, and sits incredibly awkwardly at the table with you.
I also require the name of the best hotel in Calais.
Most expensive or sort of most hip and happening?
Most expensive.
Oh, that'd be, it's a bit of a stupid name. They call it Say, as in Say, c'est le...
As in, right, very well.
It's very new. It's sort of all the rage with all of the people doing the European trip.
Very well, I wish to send a telegram to both that hotel and the other hotel that you're about to mention, blah, blah, blah.
Essentially, Bertie now takes time to send telegrams to make reservations for the best suite in the two respective hotels.
Sure. Okay, the telegram's getting sent.
Yep.
Cut back to... the party with the old biddies, who are having a whale of a time. They've now pulled Sasha in and are just trying to get her to wear furs and stuff. They're not really listening. The subject's starting to veer away a little bit.
Do they go fast? How many horses do you have inside?
Oh, you don't put horses in them, dear, but I tell you what you do have. You do have elementals. Oh, elementals. Oh, it's been a long time. Do you remember when we didn't have elementals? I do. And then they start dressing you up basically in their clothes going, oh, you do look good in that.
If we don't leave soon, we'll lose the bet.
Utter silence. What? He said a bet.
Yeah.
Did he, Sandra? He did, Doris.
Well, yeah. One of us was...
We made a bet to race our friend, the one I mentioned, Sir Bertrand McGuffin.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
We're racing to Calais.
So he took the train and we took the boat.
So the boat didn't go very well.
An underdog?
Yes.
Very much so. Like, totally underdog. The lowest dog.
Some might even say hang dog.
Mmm. Well, who are we to leave good fellow countrymen in the need when they have a bet? And they start standing up and putting the furs on, pulling their goggles down.
They are just wasted.
Oh, yeah.
But drink driving limits
on.
So
usually the horse does it for them. Drink driving limits aren't just for the protection of other road. It's not just some arbitrary limit that's set.
No, what I mean is if you're drunk driving a carriage, the horse still is a horse. So if this is really new technology,
let's let them
learn. Like they didn't. They didn't have driving lessons for the first few decades of there being cars.
Yep.
And even though they were really, really slow, people died in droves.
Oh,
Half the cars were made of wood for a start.
Well, I agree with it's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
But it may not necessarily occur to the characters.
All I'm saying is that I think if these guys succeed without any crashes, that's sending a very poor message about drink driving to our listeners.
Are you just doing this to win the bet?
No.
So they start.
Yeah. Pass that bluff check.
I believe you.
So the two older women start staggering out, and one's helping the other up, going, "Oh, honestly, you're never going to win like that." And then they're going, and as they start climbing out towards the cars and pulling you in, they're arguing over who gets
the cure poison spell or anything like that.
I may do. I won't have prepared it.
No, never mind then.
They are arguing over who gets to keep Hamid and who gets to keep Zolf. I'm afraid they're not arguing so much over Sasha. But nonetheless, they're happy to have you, but they're basically, they agree that one of them can have Hamid and one of them can have Zolf, and Sasha gets to go where she likes.
I try and persuade them to let them me go in less inebriated.
There's not a lot in it. As it is, they started talking, they've forgotten that they're meant to be setting off, and are now arguing the terms of their own sub-bet for who's going to make it to Calais.
Shouldn't we be off?
Off! Yes! At which point they pull the stopper and it's like, oh, wait, neutral. Oh, hang on. Oh, stall. Oh, hang on.
This is amazing!
Oh. And then they just go like 0 to 60 as fast as they can, kind of speed. Obviously, you're not getting that kind of speed. You're getting a bit. They're peaking out at about 30 miles an hour or something.
They're peaking out at very fast.
Oh, the acceleration's incredible.
Oh, wow, and this is all tiny horses.
And they're off and.
I've slipped my things, so I'm now perfectly attired for driving, wearing a miniature version of the driving outfit that the two old women are wearing.
You're not
foolish,
now dressed like
foolish.
A crash test.
You're driving with Doris. Doris sees you, takes her hands off the wheel, turns to you and goes, "Oh!" And you begin to careen wildly. She manages to just pull it under control. You are hitting wheels occasionally, scraping one another. One of you's up against the wall. And then back down onto the road.
It's the Gumball Rally, but we're old British women.
I think of other tunes.
Just the circus. Do you just subconsciously really want to go to the circus?
Consciously.
But nonetheless, it's a nightmare. There's a brief period where you both go over like a small little rustic stone bridge. You're getting air. It's like parts of the car are getting left behind on the way. The women aren't noticing. Cut back to Bertie. So the guardsman come in, the station master comes back and goes, so yes, the station master has confirmed that he did let you onto the train. Given, you know, this, we'll accept that what you're saying is probably true. Okay, so we'll let you go, and that's fine. And we will, do you have a contact number, maybe, that we could chase this up to give you thanks for your services?
A contact number?
Sort of an address, for instance.
Oh, I'll give the address of all of them.
Okay. Anything in country at all?
No.
Okay, right. At which point he opens the door, the guards look very questioning, and the station master looks incredibly shamefaced as he proceeds to let you out of the customs room.
Now, I require a cab to the best hotel.
The cab rank is just outside. I'll send someone. And yeah, he sends one of the guards who raises his eyebrow. He's a burly, muscular guy who thinks he can take you. He's not very happy with the situation, but he goes. There's another wait.
Bertie stares him down because he's furious. Like, at this point, he's just doing... If there was a bollard standing there, then Bertie would attempt to intimidate it. He is that angry.
Well, the guard heads off. He takes a while. He's clearly deliberately taking his time just to rile you up. He comes back maybe 15 minutes later for what was a 2-minute walk. Sort of speaks in French to his station master. He apologises for the wait. It's just very busy. What with everyone trying to leave the station at once.
Beetroot red.
Like lit puffs of steam. I'm still like damp and soiled. Okay, do I now have a cab?
You can now head out to the station. And yeah, there will be a cab waiting for you.
I take the cab, and once I've arrived at the hotel that I am arriving at, at the front desk, I wish to send a telegram.
Heading to the cab.
Yep.
It is an automated cab.
Right.
Don't have them in London.
Yep.
There is a sort of nominal cabbie in the front. Mm-hmm. Again, it's effectively robotic. It is a large brass affair, the cab. There are no horses attached to it, but there is the sort of simulation of a cabbie, but holding reins that don't really go to anything. Mm-hmm. And as you step in, there's a speaker, which just has sort of a grill into it where you can speak your destination. It has a bit of trouble with you, given the fact that you have a heavy English accent whenever you're trying to say anything in French. But it sets off, mm-hmm. and you start heading off. We'll cut back to everyone racing in the cars.
I'm just keeping my head down and trying not to die.
Yeah, you're powering ahead.
My initial thoughts over 20 still count. Hamid's seasickness.
So there's grating and banging, and they're pulling things to one of the sides. And then finally, you crest another blind hill right into a horse and carriage, which is coming the opposite direction. The car, which has Sasha and Zolf in, which is driven by Sandra, suddenly, she does a wild steer and... got lucky. She manages to twist off to the right, off onto a grass verge on the far side of this blind hill, and just spins out completely. You hear snaps of various pieces of mechanics breaking, and
then
it just
amazing.
Pulls to a stop on a sort of gravel spit and bumps up against the road.
Again. Let's do it again.
That wasn't supposed to happen, was it?
Oh! If I had word, dog! Doris is like, uh-oh, looks like someone's going to lose, and then drives off.
That's Doris with Hammond.
Doris with Hammond just guns it off.
Win the bet for us!
And, yeah, still careering wildly all over the place. Your car, there is crackles of lightning coming from the front, at which point she goes...
is that all the horses?
I think we should probably step back, grabs you and sort of start stumbling away. Do you like fireworks?
Yeah.
You'll love this. At which point she backs over the hill and just kind of pokes her head over. Three. At which point the front of the car just bursts open.
Wow!
There's a brief flash for a moment of what looks like a furious creature made of sort of light and lightning and smoke. And it's about the size of Sasha, so it's not huge, but it looks... furious, utterly furious. Sparks of lightning fly out, it scorches some of the stonework, one of the trees bursts into flame, and then it just dissipates instantly.
Oh, that's amazing! Do you have another one?
No, that'll be another car.
Oh, sorry about that.
Well, these things happen, she reaches and gets a hip blast. Nip.
Oh, yeah, cheers.
She just proceeds to sit on the hill with you and drink.
Right, I guess we're hitchhiking our way to Calais then.
Could be worse.
Yes, it was. It was.
So, cut back to Bertie. The carriage has been going for a while. A lot of traffic slowing you down. And finally, you pull up at what looks like quite a rundown hotel. And outside, it appears to be called The Chest. Or something similar.
So not say, like I asked for. Modern technology, they say.
It just goes, and there is a voice from the speaker going, You've arrived.
Bertie gets out of the cab.
The cabbie, the sort of automated cabbie, just turns and holds out a sort of automated hand.
Is currency universal in this? I wonder if I paid him in gold, would that work?
Currency is universal for the sake of my sanity.
Fair enough. Okay, in that case, I pay whatever feels like the appropriate amount. Let's say one gold.
That's about right. Yeah. Cool, it takes it. Pulls away. You're now in a fairly rundown part of Calais.
Right. I go up to the front desk.
There is a overweight halfling man sat behind the desk, bored and reading a book.
Excuse me. Hello?
No. Carries on reading his book.
Bertie pounds the desk very hard.
Give me a strength check.
17 plus 3 is 20.
You snap the desk. Not completely untrained, but there is a crack running down. Now he's listening.
In exactly the same tone and volume as before. And the level of eye contact has not changed. Bertie has not broken eye contact with the person not looking at him while doing this. He's punched the desk. It's collapsed.
He's looking now.
Excuse me.
Where?
Is this the Hotel Say?
No.
Where is the Hotel Say?
He kind of just takes a moment, considers, and then points sort of directly behind him. So just up the street, presumably, but...
Bertie picks up the man.
Hotels say, and then walks out of the door, adjusting the halfling man's arm to point where he should be going.
The halfling man hanging, knowing better than to argue with someone who's clearly insane, points up the street.
Bertie marches in that direction, continuing to hold the halfling man under his arm.
Again, he's sort of plodding along. He gives a few protestations in French, which presumably fall on literally deaf ears, yep, since you don't speak the language. Yep. And presumably you'll be giving him a shake anytime he doesn't point the right turning. Yep. You begin marching through Calais, carrying an incredibly overweight halfling, which you can carry at least, yeah, but he's heavy with it. Give me a perception check.
19 minus 1 is 18.
Enormous amounts of laughter are following you through the city as more and more people notice, point and laugh, and there's whispering. In fact, you hear some people mentioning your name.
Bertie is getting crosser and crosser.
You hear, blah, 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 blah. Oh, oui, c'est bâton. They're all laughing and pointing, and some kids were sort of keeping next to you, and any time you look, they're running on.
What is around in terms of street furniture?
There's the occasional sort of fairly downtrodden cafe with some beaten up chairs.
Okay, fair enough. Basically, is there anything in terms of like road signs or like bins and things like that knocking around?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, at one point when the laughter of the children has got to him too much, even Bertie isn't going to bisect a child because he's a cross. It's getting that way. So Bertrand withdraws. What was it, a road sign that you said?
You find yourself at a corner which is pointed towards Rue d'Avignon.
There we are. At that point, because a crowd is beginning to gather and there's a bit of pointing and laughter, Sir Bertrand withdraws his sword from its scabbard and power attacks that sign and can just shut people up. He's getting very annoyed.
I'll just. It's a stationary sign. You're taking the time to do the job well.
Yeah.
You manage to.
But he does have a halfling on the other arm.
We'll say it takes him longer. Hacking at this sign slowly, pouring sparks away from it and damaging your sword in the process. It's getting nicks and scrapes. Eventually, you manage to hack it down into a stump. The laughter's just louder. People are further away, but they're laughing louder.
Sebastian waves the sword menacing at them. Yeah, that's right. You keep your distance. Continues going in the direction as pointed by the...
He's pointing faster.
Yep.
He's pointing better.
Good.
Right, cut back to Hamid.
Hanging on.
You're now starting to swerve in between more and more traffic as there are more motor cars. Nothing going anywhere near as fast as yours is. Yours probably is actually a racing model now that you've had a bit of time to look at it in between the Terror. And you're swerving wildly between various types of vehicles on the road.
Will
people, the pavements.
Be okay?
Probably! In fact, you can start hearing her going. She's singing to herself. It's all very elaborate and exciting for her. Finally, you whiz past the sign in Calais, like 2 kilometres or something. Where are we going in the town?
The nicest hotel that you know of.
Righto! Over another boat. Cut back to the blind hill where.
I've got my thumb stuck.
Yeah,
out.
I've also got my thumb out.
Sticking out. And I'm guessing if the woman is smaller than Zolf or higher.
She's smaller than Zolf.
Right, so we've sort of just in stepped up height in our thumbs.
Finally, a horse and cart, which is carrying what appears to be just root vegetables in a cart, slows down, pulls over, and is willing to give you a lift.
Calais Silvus Platt.
Calais,
civically. Oh, right.
He looks to...
Well, my version is saying, we're like, cheers, governor! All right, blunt! Stay in the alleyway, you're going into the palace. Paris, the Calais general direction, innit?
It just about manages...
M'lady!
Just about manages to decode Sasha. Meanwhile, Doris climbs up on the back with you, and you sat... having a nice little sedate ride up.
So, like, how's the trip around France going for you?
Oh, we do it every year. Every year, God. Me and Doris, me and Sandra, we've been round. Oh, I'll tell you what. First year we did it, it was on horseback. Second year, we actually rented out airships. That wasn't that interesting, actually. A bit slow. And then the third year, off she goes.
This is all stuff that I haven't heard before. It's all very exciting.
So, finally, cut back to... You've been walking for the best part of an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, it starts getting a bit upmarket. The number of mechanical men is vastly increasing. The quality of clothing and so on, again, vastly increasing. You're at shop fronts, which you look like you'd be willing to shop at now. the latter is...
They wouldn't have you in state. Yeah.
The basically, a lot of people have fallen away due to the frowns of guards and so on. Nonetheless, the laughter has taken on a certain sniggering, superior air rather than just downright hilarity. Lots of people mocking behind fans and so on.
Bertie's on the hair trigger at this point.
Roll me a perception check.
7 minus 1 is 6.
6. Okay. You see large crowds gathered round sort of magazine stands, and you know the old style tobacconist where it's on the street, on the street, it's just a tiny little stand. Yeah. There's large groups of them all reading one thing. You don't know what, but they're all laughing as well. It's not great. But you seem to be making progress, and the guy who's muttering and who's gibbering in French that you can't understand, so it clearly seems agitated in a positive way, like it might finally be over.
Yeah. Okay, I think Bertrand, at this point, Bertrand McGuffin is still so focused on he's come this far and it's taken this much to do it, he is getting to that hotel so he continues to
puzzle. The hardest he's ever worked for a
pretty
thing.
Much.
So, we'll cut back to Hamid. You're within Calais city limits. You're swerving round. Finally, inevitably, she takes one corner too quickly.
Crunch!
Right up against a lamppost. Give me a reflex save.
9 plus 4, 13.
13, you take 3 damage. As you are immediately shunted forward and bashing your head on the dashboard. Sandra seems okay, and he's just going, whoa! Wow! Whew. Oh, well. I mean, it's just up that street. You might still make it. It's called Say.
Thank you. I hope the rest of your trip goes well.
So do I.
I gently stroll up the street towards the hotel.
You're having a hard time because there's quite a lot of crowds. Like a lot of them in the way, and there seems to be like it's not boisterous or anything, but everyone seems in very good spirits, like maybe it's a parade or something. Cut back to
I changed my outfit again.
Nice. Cut back to Zolf and Sasha and Doris on the car. You've still got a good hour to go.
I slip the driver of the cart a silver and I'm munching on some carrots.
I'm just sitting here letting Doris wash over me.
Like a spewy wave.
So, like, if you were going to go to Egypt next, or,
I'll tell you what.
How would you do it? Or if we're going up to Norway, where was it?
Svalbard.
Oh
god, tell you what, that's an interesting one. I mean, I'd probably go by ship. It's a bit more interesting than the airships, but honestly, the airships are pretty good. I mean, if you're going to go by ship there, you're going to probably want to go from somewhere up north. And she's like, oh well, I mean, obviously you can catch the airships from one of the major inland cities, but you're probably wanting to go by a port or something like that. Just because it's more interesting, I mean, it's a lot slower going by though, but honestly, it's a bit more exciting.
Right.
Tell you what though.
I think we've had enough boat excitement.
Oh, tell you what then, I mean, you could probably get yourself on an airship. Pretty expensive, though. I mean, not very interesting. It's a very boring ship. Also, Svalbard tend to close down to airships. They tend not to like them. I mean, it sort of depends. I mean, if you've got a trading right thing, that'd be great. I've never been to Svalbard, actually.
Okay.
And finally, we will cut back to Bertie trudging through the filth, wading through people. People, like, it's crowded anyway, and there's lots of people getting in your way. And there is a crowd outside the entrance to say... And they're all stood on the front steps looking at you. And as they see you, they all start cheering and laughing. And they're all, again, they all seem to know your name. And they're all pointing and laughing and, again, cheering your arrival. At which point, Hamid will say that you, just strolling quite gently up, managed to arrive at the exact same time that Bertie does on the front steps looking at everyone laughing at him.
I, in a glance, take in Bertie's current condition.
Just all of this. Psychotic.
And gesture to him in a after you manner.
My thanks. And there, at this point, Bertie drops the halfling on the floor, tips him, gives him a gold, sends him on his way.
That's actually pretty good payment.
Yeah.
He's confused and sort of walks up and he's just shell-shocked. That's the word.
Yeah.
Completely shell-shocked.
Did I win?
And then Bertie walks into the hotel.
Once Bertie's crossed the threshold first, I will cast Prestidigitation and clean him up.
So, Bertie, the crowd par for him initially for the smell, but eventually because he's just a big, scary man.
He would have punched anybody.
Oh, yeah.
He's basically purple.
You get prestidigitated on the way, and you step into the lobby of Say to announce yourself to the receptionist.
I am Sir Bertrand McGuffingham, and I require the best, and I require it now.
That'd be fine. And we'll close there. Ooh, it's all a bit much. All a bit much.
Lazily crunch a carrot. to hear about a spectacular woman's travels around a continent I've never visited. It's a great end to the day over here.
In the car that's almost certain death for everyone else involved.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I think we'll close it there and we will see everyone next week. So until then, we hope that if you're doing any intercontinental races and such, you're not getting in with drunken drivers.
Yeah. Don't drink and drive.
don't get in a carriage with a drunk woman wearing goggles.
Don't try and sail over the English Channel during a terrifying storm in a small boat.
And don't force the electricity from the front of a train to the back of the train.
All important lessons. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for listening and we'll tune in next week with you.
Bye!
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Not many listeners know Lydia's forehead. It's just mouth.
Yeah.
Or my face is just one big yawning.
Gaping more.
I mean, most of us spend the entire game in a state of mild terror just from sitting near her.
As far as intros go, this is the most disturbing.
If you look her straight in the face, you can see infinity. Often disquieting.
Yeah.
So as
turn people to stone if I'm reflected, if they see me reflected in a mirror.
If they don't. Presumably.
If they do.
Wow, that's
how that is. Complex.
Pretty niche. Exclusively when they see you in a mirror.
Screw you, Perseus.
No,
she's all over the grid.
Well, it's awkward if I'm walking around in a shopping mall or something. Where
Or just people stones everywhere.
Very embarrassing. Bathrooms can't use them.
Go around Westfield. Everyone will thank you.
So, as a brief recap of where we've actually been and what we've actually been doing, at least in the context of the game, the party have finally. But he's just pulling a gaping maw face at me and I can't unsee it now. Right.
Now there's some fan art. There's flailing as well.
So, picking up where we left... picking up where we left off last week. Oh, that's going to be so awful to listen to. So, picking up where we left... Oh, I knew you were getting... Right. We'll take a break there and come back in a couple of minutes.
Sir, what did the dog do to you? Sent me into a gender panic!
Was wearing a lopsided wig, do you not understand?
It just blurred boundaries, and I found very confusing. I was confused.
Everything has to be neatly pigeonholed.
I need rules.
I tried to label him. Damn it!
It made me feel different about me, and I don't like that.
The choices that I've made in my life before that I thought were limited were opened up in ways that made me feel insecure about who I am and what I've achieved.
French is a language with no neutral gender for nouns. So in France, it should be doubly effective, if anything. Okay. Just saying.
It's super effective.
Yeah.
So, are we all good to carry on?
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences
quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.